Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on G-Thanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and welcome to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It. It's the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm one of your hosts, Caroline Moss, and I'm joined by the other host,
Sally Tamarkin.
Oh, Sally, another week.
Here we are.
Thrilled January's to be over.
Here. January's Thank over. God. Oh my God. Thank God. It lasted so long. But February is like, is February worse than January or is it slightly better because you're getting closer to spring?
I think February is better because it's shorter. We only have 28 days.
It's a great
And
point.
I also think, I actually think March, controversial opinion, March is the worst because you expect it to be nice. You expect to be out of the woods on the winter.
That's true.
And you're not. Usually, I think in New York, at least, it like always snowed in March.
Totally. Yeah, you can't really be done. You can't really feel done with winter in a real way until April, I feel like.
End of April, even sometimes. Yeah. I mean, depends on how what you feel is like done with winter. When do you consider like what? I mean, I guess I feel like, especially when I lived in the Northeast, getting fooled by that first like 62 degree day, and then you're like, okay, it's over, we made it. And then the next day is like 38 and like really rainy.
Yeah, it gets me every time. And my birthday is April 2nd. So you have 61 shopping days. But and sometimes it's really temperate. And other times, like 2 years ago on my birthday, it was so cold and windy.
Yeah.
And it was like the thick of the pandemic. So and we were like, we'll do something outside. But it was like frigid and it like unbearable. And it's like April can really just go either way. So yeah, I kind of feel like mid to late April and then like early May can get really sweltering. It's an emotional roller coaster this season.
We often skip spring, I feel, and go straight to summer. Like you don't get like a consistent spring. You get like a few days of nice weather and then a few days of bad weather and then all of a sudden there's a heat wave and that you're in it until like October. Yeah, I was going to say 2 years ago in April, that must have been when everyone was sort of 50% vaccinated.
Is like, that when happened? Oh, right, because it's 2023. Uh-huh. Yeah, actually, that's right. I was vaccinated and Andrea wasn't. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't remember if like what we were doing at that point, but we've been pretty like conservative this whole time. So like we definitely, I think we were still doing like not really doing anything inside. So it was just like a weird, it wasn't like as dystopian as like April 2020.
Right.
But, you know, it was pretty weird.
We had a lot more information at that time, you know, a year later. I think the thing about the spring 2021 that always bums me out was that there was like a 5 to 6 week period where it was like, if you were vaccinated and you waited the like, whatever it was called, like the incubation time for it to like take hold, which I think was like 2 weeks after your second vax.
Yeah.
You kind of thought like, okay, like,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden everyone was getting breakthrough cases. And then all of a sudden, like everyone got COVID, like,
yeah,
despite it. So that sucked.
Post-vaccination pre-Delta was like a very heady time where it was like, it was like, oh, so we are just returning to normal. That's awesome. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it was so brief.
It was so brief because Delta was early to mid July 2021, which mm-hmm. I remember. Yeah. I'm throwing, for those who can't see us, which is everyone, I am throwing cheese puffs off camera to the dog because she's going through it.
Allegedly. I have a theory that the dog actually isn't there. Yeah. And because Caroline's been doing a lot of like interacting with this off camera.
Yeah. I've just been throwing, there's a big stuffed animal in the middle of our house with, cheese puffs surrounding it.
And just like in a pile of cheese puffs.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, I am super excited about the product that I'm bringing to the show today. And before we get into that, I want to tell you I have another empty. Ooh. And I promised to tell you about my empties as they came up. This one I can guarantee you probably won't be that interested in, but it is the Merit Clean Lash Mascara. Okay. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you wear mascara. Mm-mm. You're not a big makeup head.
Not a big makeup head. Never worn a stitch of makeup in my life. Chapstick's not makeup, right?
No, I don't think they qualify.
Okay, so no, I've never worn makeup.
Though in sixth grade, my mom tried to convince me it was. Because I was like, I want to wear makeup. And my mom was like, Vaseline.
That is so slick. I love that. That's A-plus parenting.
I don't know that it worked, but I applaud the effort.
Sure, yeah.
This mascara is really good. If you follow G Thanks Just Bought It Pod on Instagram, you've heard me talk about it a million times. This is not a sponsorship, though Merit did buy a few months of sponsored ads, I think like a year ago. And that was sort of my introduction to the brand. And now I've been rebuying it ever since. But it's like minimal, you know, Glossier. Have you heard of Glossier?
I have heard of it, yeah.
So I always say like Merit is Glossier for like 30 somethings, if Glossier is Glossier for 20 somethings.
Okay, cool. What, like in branding or in like the actual products offered?
It's kind of, it has like a cool girl branding kind of thing, but it has the same thing. It's like minimalist, like, you know, it's just sort of accentuating your features. It's kind of that no makeup, makeup look, which I don't really subscribe to because the only time they ever show you people doing no makeup, makeup, it's like, you know, already like hot celebrities who have like a lot of money and like who already have perfect skin because they can pay for it. You know what I
totally,
mean?
I'm
like,
totally.
Some of us want to wear foundation. But I really love their, I love a lot of stuff they offer, but I love their mascara because I have like oily eyelids. And so mascara transfer, so mascara, you know, is sort of like paint. It's like pigment that like, kind of darkens your lashes, makes them look more pronounced.
Okay.
But if it's paint, it transfers. And no matter what I used to try, whether it was waterproof, whether it was like no smudge mascara, whether it was like literally called Caroline Moss, I promise you can wear this mascara. It would always, I would, by the end of the day, I would always have dark circles under my eyes. Like if I rubbed my eyes and forgot I was wearing mascara, I'd go to the bathroom and there'd be like a fan under my eyes.
Right.
And this mascara that I've been using is tubing mascara, which is different. And this is a hashtag women in STEM moment. Apparently, and I say this because I can't prove it, but the way that tubing mascara is different is that it, like, instead of painting your lashes, it creates tubes around your lashes that just like, and that's where, that's as far as I ever get. Like, I've looked it up a number of times, but I'm like, okay. But the difference between tubes, and for a while I thought, oh, mascara that comes in a tube, and it's not. It creates a tube around your lash, but it doesn't smudge.
Okay.
Wait, which cat is this? Now Sally's animals have entered the chat.
This is Miles has entered the chat.
Hi, Miles. Miles is like Kevin. Kevin's like, oh, you're sitting still for a while? I'll just be right here as well.
Yeah, Miles is going to wreak a little havoc, but I promise.
That's fine.
Man, this camera
give him
really
cheese
shows.
Doodles. It works over here.
That's true. I should have cheese doodles. I'm noticing how pilled my shirt is. Maybe you can tell me how to get this depilled. Is there a product for that?
Well, I have a depiller that I do recommend. Absolutely. Okay. So anyway, this mascara does not transfer. And I can
that's
wear
incredible.
It all day long.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing because I feel like the main thing about mascara, if watching commercials my whole life has taught me anything,
yes.
is that you don't want it to clump. And you don't want it to run, and you want it to stay in place all day, no matter whether you're working or playing.
Yeah, whether you're working, playing, swimming. You, wow,
yeah,
you have really been spoken to by mascara ads.
Totally. And Caroline, I think one thing we know about you is that you play as hard as you work. And so you need a mascara that is going to be with you through your working hard and your playing hard.
When I went to the Real John Max's e-course, and it used to be an in-real-life course held at the Holiday Inn, but in COVID times, he does offer a Zoom.
Sure.
One of the Real John Max quotes that I love is, work hard, play hard. And he said that first. So
yeah, he actually made that up. He doesn't get credit, but he should.
He never gets credit. And it's like, he doesn't want credit. And that's one of the things, that's why I keep paying for that e-course over and over again, because I think he's just so humble. But
it's the least we could do.
It's the least we could do. But he always says, work hard, play hard. And I say, you're right. And it's like, you need a mascara that's going to work hard, play hard with you. So Merit's Clean Lash Mascara is the second empty of the year. I will put it on the Instagram because I said that's what I was going to do. And I just wanted to tell you about it. But I am so happy for you, and also just the advertising industry in general, that for someone who's never – I assume you've never actually even spent money and bought mascara.
Mm-mm.
But you know about the clumping.
I know about the clumping. I know about the clumping. I know about the running. I think that, like, I know that, like, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
That's right.
I know all about Germac Bounce Back Beautiful Hair. I guess that's shampoo. But yeah, the point is, I do feel like I know all this stuff. But what I have not been effectively convinced by is that I need those things. But there's a lot more advertising. Like, I have a lot of years left, God willing, to be exposed to advertising. So maybe when we're recording the 5,000th episode of Gee Thanks, I'll be recommending mascara of my own.
I would love that from our respective nursing homes.
Yeah.
From our respective, like, senior facilities.
They might start making nursing homes with podcast studios, because the podcast generation is going to become elderly soon.
I realize that we're running out of time to make media that is centered around old people not knowing how to use phones, because all 70-year-olds, like, have iPhones, because those are our parents.
They're all, like, texting and stuff.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
I mean, what they're not really texting as much as they are doing talk to text into the phone.
Right.
Which my mom does. And then doesn't, I think we've talked about this before, she does not look at it before she sends it. So it's so, I'm like, what are you trying to say? Gibberish. And she's like, well, I hate Siri. And I'm like, it's not Siri's fault. So, like, you can't
don't blame this on Siri.
What is this, M3 again? You can't just hand over your life to the robots. You gotta, M3. Oh my God. Siri was just summited.
Just say something?
Yeah, she was like, sorry, what? Like, what were you saying?
Yesterday I said the word accessibility. I was talking to Andrea about something, and all of a sudden Siri – and I don't think I have Siri, like, turned on, but maybe, like, in an M3gan move, she's just, like, turned herself on because I said accessibility, and Siri was like, would you like accessibility options? And she sounded super excited about it, and I just it freaked me out.
She's like,
summoned – I know. I've never summoned any of those people, but they're there.
I can't believe they're listening. That's the scary part. And also a huge part of M3GAN, which, have you seen it yet? Because it is available on Prime to rent and buy.
I didn't know that, but now that I do, it will be like a top priority.
I'm probably going to buy it so that I have it, so that when you guys are ready to watch it, tell me. And I'll give you my login so you can just watch it on my account. So you don't have to spend like $20 to rent M3 again.
Okay, well, the same goes for you regarding Tar, because I bought it because watched it. I watched it again and I was like, I know I'm going to want to watch this more. And now I'm just spending a ton of money renting it every time. So we can exchange Prime info.
Let's exchange. And then we'll do, you know, the Megan Tar report next week and do like a back. Okay. I love that idea. We will. And you guys will not fool us into saying our passwords on the podcast. We're going to do that offline.
We won't do it.
I know that you said you didn't have a rec for this week, so I was excited to sort of just tell you about something that I bought recently that I am really excited about, and I can't help but sound like, this is so cute and I'm so excited, but I feel this way. I bought a griddle.
I want to know everything. I have to tell you that, like, I'm not even really sure. I'm looking at it now, and it's like a flat, square frying pan, right?
Yeah, it's like a griddle. I'm like, it's a griddle? It's like a griddle. Have you heard of it?
But I thought griddles had crisscrosses, but I think I'm thinking of a waffle iron.
That's a waffle iron. And then there's also like a griddle. So it's an electric griddle, which means that it plugs in independently. It's like a hot plate, but for like a fry pan. Okay, do you know what I mean? Like it's like a hot plate, but instead of the hot, but the hot surface is something you put food directly on.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I feel like I'm the perfect audience to tell me about this because I clearly don't really understand what this is and I'm excited to learn.
So I've never had a griddle before. My parents don't own a griddle. Pancakes were cooked in a frying pan.
Sure.
That sometimes had, you know, because sometimes food like stays on a pan no matter how hard you scrub it. True. So there was always like the rogue morning where we'd be like so excited to have pancakes and then it would be like, this tastes like fish. And sort of ruins that moment. But my parents didn't have a griddle and I always kind of thought griddles were for, you know, the buffets at weddings or like the hotel buffet because you can stand independently of a kitchen and cook. And then I thought, okay, well, like I love a pancake. Sure. I'd love to eat more pancakes in 2023. I also love cooking bacon, but it is a whole process because of bacon fat and grease. And a griddle really like contains all of that.
That's interesting.
And also I don't like cooking anything that requires a more rigorous the cleanup time and effort has to match my excitement about the food. And so it's hard for me as much as you think you love like a pancake and a bacon moment. It's really hard for me to get it up for the cleaning process.
Yeah.
And so I won't do it.
You don't want you don't want the intensity of the cleaning.
No, it's not worth it to me.
The enjoyment. So let me ask you a question just really quick. As someone who's never made bacon, tell me how does this is it the same way it simplifies making pancakes?
Yeah. I mean, it just like, it's a contained space. Mm-hmm. And remember, I don't cook a lot. So like I am the perfect audience for like, but you would cook more if you had
totally,
this thing.
Okay. Totally.
But it is, so like it has, this one especially has like grooves on the side that slope downwards. So the grease collects and then it goes into like a little tray off the thing. So most of the grease is off of the pan by the time you're done. And then you kind of just slip out this little tray, pour it into your – I usually use like a soup can or something and put it in the freezer before thawing it out and throwing the like ice grease in the garbage. So like it just made there's like these little things that when you're doing it on a pan, it requires like, I don't know. I just always like making bacon on a fry pan has always yielded in like either me burning myself or grease everywhere or grease on something that I have to, you know. And so this kind of is a container for that. But the thing it works best for is like with pancakes, you know, on a traditional gas oven, you know, you don't have exact temperatures. You have 1 through 5. And so you're like, oh, I'm on medium low heat. But depending on like what pan you're using, how long the pan has been on, which pancake you're on, are you at the beginning of the pancake cooking or the end of the pancake cooking? You know, you can't like time it. With a griddle, you set the temperature and then there's like a timer. So it's like you do 90 seconds on one side and then like 90 seconds on the other side and you're done. Whereas I feel like when I was doing pancakes on a fry pan, it's like you're checking, you're looking for the bubbles. Sometimes you flip it too early and the batter like does like a little like, and then it like gets into a thing. But I have to tell you, Sally, there was one thing that got me to buy this griddle and I'm not proud of it, but it was an Instagram reel of a mom cooking pancake spaghetti for her kids, which is she put pancake batter in a ketchup like squirt bottle, no ketchup in it.
Right.
And then did swirls on the griddle so that it was just like lines of pancakes, like strings.
Okay.
And then they would cook and then she'd pick them up and it would go in a bowl and put syrup on it. And it looks like spaghetti, but it's pancakes.
That's really cute. I thought you were going to say it was one of those cursed videos where someone takes like, have you seen the things where someone takes like a giant rectangular like tin thing like that you would serve food in a buffet and like puts like 6 tortillas, a pile of ground meat like straight from the container, 50 slices of American cheese on top,
puts it in the oven.
Like, nacho chips. Yeah. Like, yeah. I thought you were going to say it was one of those cursed things where it was like spaghetti and pancakes together at last.
Oh,
but
I was
what you're describing, it sounds delightful.
It's very cute. And the baby in the video loved it. And I was like, I'm baby. I would love this.
It sounds so appealing. Why are we eating pancakes any other way than that way?
How did I ever eat it just in a circular form?
I'm asking myself the same question. This changes everything.
I got to ask you, though, before we move on, is the cursed part the way that the video becomes shareable? Is like, who would put spaghetti inside their nachos and then call it lasagna? Or do you not like a one pan, all the ingredients go in, put it in the oven, and then it's something to eat? Because I'm a fan of a one pan.
I'm a fan of the one pan thing, but sometimes you see the ones that take that concept to its like extreme logical conclusion, which is like a raw chicken in a pan with like tortillas on it, and then like five jars of like baked beans, a jar of salsa. You know, it's like that kind of thing. It just it feels like it's being created for social media more than it is for like
enjoyment people to of food.
Eat and enjoy. So yeah, but I'm not opposed. I love a one pan meal. I love a sheet pan dinner. And I have to say that like this griddle, I make pancakes sometimes, and I've always thought that it was a really inefficient process because the pan, even if you have a really big nonstick pan, it's really not big enough to do multiple pancakes. Mm-hmm. And even if you have a massive one and you're like, okay, I'll do a few small pancakes at a time, some of them are directly over the heat source. Others are kind of outside the heat source. So it's really hard to get it consistent. And every time I make pancakes, I'm like, who invented this system? This is a bad system. And I feel like this griddle solves all those problems.
It kind of does. And it's like, again, the reason I love a one pan anything is because of the minimal cleanup. But that's exactly right about the griddle, is like, I'm not trying to be a chemistry major and try to figure out like, oh, where's the heat? And like, also it's a circular pan and you're making circular pancakes. I understand the name. But there's also a part of it that's like, yeah, these don't really actually fit. If you put one circle,
that's the whole thing.
You can't really fit anything else. So you're either eating like a massive pancake, or you're not able to serve your party, whether it be two people trying to eat breakfast at the same time or 10 people at the same time. Someone's eating first before everyone else, or someone's eating cold pancakes because their pancake was made 10 pancakes ago.
That's so true. These are the things that keep me up at night. Yeah. No, I make pancakes like twice a year. And each time I feel like it's a terrible system and we're doing it all wrong. And I never really realized. I also was not raised in a griddle family. So I didn't really even understand that this was a thing. But it seems like it would be awesome, especially like the even heating, the large like work surface rules. And not splattering stuff on your stovetop seems really cool, like butter and oil and stuff like that. What else can you make on a griddle? Can you make stuff besides pancakes?
Yeah, of course. Bacon? You can do eggs. You can do literally anything, I think. Anything that you would put on a pan.
Shoot, am I going to get a griddle?
I think you might, honestly. You could also do one pancake and eggs at the same time. You could just split your workspace and just pay attention to the timing. I agree. Like, there are so many. I wonder if also you would find yourself making pancakes more if you had an easier setup. But I also thought when I got this, it was $50. I had a Target gift card. So I bought it at Target for $30 because I had a $20 gift card from like a purchase. We had talked a couple episodes ago about like, I always take advantage of the like buy all the detergent and you get a $10 gift card. And then I use those gift cards to like buy stuff like griddles for half the price. But I'm an adult. I make my own decisions. And like, maybe I want pancakes once a week. Maybe I want them seven times a week.
This makes it less of a production. So you definitely could do breakfast for dinner every night of the week if you wanted to. And it wouldn't be like a whole production. I mean, that's the thing. You're like, when you make pancakes, it's like, do you want to deal? Are we going to make a whole thing out of breakfast this morning?
Is it a whole thing?
With a griddle, I feel like you don't have to make a whole thing out of it.
Yeah. I haven't done eggs on it yet. And I haven't done bacon on it yet. I just know about the sloped side. So I'll report back. But the pancakes were really easy. And then there's not much to clean. You like kind of take a damp soapy cloth and wipe it down. You don't have to put it in the sink. It doesn't go into the dishwasher. Like, oh, you just wipe it down.
I love that. Now, one of the reviews says it's a good starter griddle. So I'm interested to know what you envision for yourself after you graduate to elite griddle. Like, what features are you going to look for when you in the next, I assume that within about 18 months you're going to need to move off from the novice griddle and get into intermediate territory?
That is such a good question. I mean, probably after I'm off the novice griddle, I will be renting like a commercial kitchen space.
That sounds, you know, right.
And opening a restaurant.
That sounds right. A pancake restaurant.
A pancake restaurant.
A house of pancakes.
Right. An international, honestly, an house international. Of pancakes.
You should start with regional, but I like that international is your end goal.
I like that RHOP. I'm like, I'm opening an RHOP. It's not IHOP. It's not the same at all. I don't leave this part of California.
It's and a totally no one different thing. Me.
Yeah. See, I can't imagine. Those are the kinds of reviews where I'm like, you've given me not enough information.
Right.
What do you mean a starter griddle? It's a griddle. What right. more are we looking for here?
The only thing I can imagine is like that one is bigger. Like, because how do you make something not a starter griddle? It's big and it's on legs. And then you're talking about commercial kitchen. So yeah, right. I also don't.
Then you're talking about you're back on the stove.
And you're back on the stove.
It's just a griddle. This is where I'm like, anyone who says this is a good starter griddle is just trying to brag.
They're bragging about being a griddle master.
Yeah, they're bragging. And that's when you're like, okay, so you're a griddle head. I get it. And that's fine. But like, you don't make me feel bad about it. But what I love about this griddle, and the reason why I got this one, like, no lie, I didn't want to order from Amazon because I had the Target gift card.
Yeah.
And it was the one that Target had. So I got it. But I love that. Like, there has to be something hokey in every single appliance in the world. It can't just be so straightforward. And this one is the Diamond Force cookware. The cooking surface is reinforced and infused with diamond particles that form a structural matrix, creating a stronger coating for superior nonstick performance. It's Oster's longest lasting nonstick. First of all, like, there's no like, oh, diamond particles on my griddle. No.
Shout out to the copywriter who was told to make this griddle sound like a piece of like military grade equipment and fully succeeded, even though it's complete succeeded. Gibberish, just absolute nonsense.
I also don't believe in nonstick in general. Things are supposed to stick. Mm-hmm. I use like a butter spray.
Sure.
I don't care if they tell me something's nonstick. There's something really off to me about nonstick culture.
Well, I recently became a nonstick head, even though I like.
Really?
Yeah. And I agree with you. Like, first of all, like in theory, it seems wrong. And even though I did a lot of research, including in the G-Thanks Facebook group, to try to find a nonstick surface that was not made with like known carcinogens, it feels difficult to imagine that we're not all using things that just have like unknown carcinogens. Like my food isn't sticking and that doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. I had this conversation with Kate Kennedy the other day, like just like how I've almost gone to the side of being like pro toxin. Cause I'm like, there's just no way, like everything, nothing is normal about anything we consume in any way, shape or form.
Right. So, we should start smoking and review cigarettes.
Honestly. Gee, thanks. Just smoked it. Honestly. Yeah.
Cigarette influencers. Did they have those?
They definitely did in Mad Men era. I think we should bring that back. You're a Mad Men head. I see sometimes you post the meme accounts.
I'm such a Mad Men head, and I wanted to send you something about my hair, which I wasn't sure, but I wasn't sure if you were a Mad Men head, so I didn't. But now that I know, I just want to say, do you remember Dick Whitman, young Dick Whitman's hair?
Yeah.
That is I'm trying to grow out the top, and that is like what my hair looks like now. You can't really see it because I have headphones, but here, like, I'll send you a picture of what I mean. But yeah, I'm really glad you asked me that because I wanted to talk about my hair.
Oh my gosh. How long is this process taking? Oh, we're just talking about carcinogens in our nonstick pans, right. And now we're talking about Mad Men because they were cigarette influencers. That was the through line.
And what a through line it is. No, so like I did get a nonstick pan because I'm pretty bad at cooking, and what I usually end up doing, I just sent you a thing in the chat.
I'm looking.
What I end up doing is like burning things, but the inside is raw. And I mm-hmm. really need help from technology. And so I did get a nonstick pan, which is one of the reasons the griddle is so intriguing to me, because it's like, okay, so you're telling me it's like the nonstick pan I got, which has changed my life, but it's bigger and it's square or rectangular. I mean, that just like, what am I doing not using a griddle?
I mean, here's the thing. I didn't think I was going to be able to sell you on the diamond particle griddle, but I think I have. Mm-hmm. Do you want your hair to look like that?
No.
Or you think your hair looks like that right now?
I think my hair looks like that.
Accordingly.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's a good call. I should have specified. I think this is what my hair looks like as I live through the really awkward phase of growing my hair out. And it's awkward. It is.
It's nice to know that all people on all ends of the spectrum, on all ends of length of haircut, the growing out part seems, whether you had long hair and you're trying to grow it longer, whether you had short hair and you're trying to grow it longer, whether you had like middle hair and you're trying to grow it longer, there is seemingly only 3 days a year where any of us have the hair that we aspire to. And then every other day is like a day in process to get back to one of those days.
It's so true. And I feel like if we could all come together around that, around like transitional hair stages.
World peace.
World peace. World the meme peace. That's like the world if dot, dot, dot. That's what it is.
All we would have to do is just talk about like everyone who's tried to grow out like a short haircut that's like styled a specific way at different lengths. So you have to get it all to one length again. Anybody mm-hmm. who's growing out their bangs, which, you know, huge population of the world, we could mm-hmm. cross lines. We could like just imagine what we could do.
It would be our era's like We Are the World.
I was just going to say that. I love We Are the World.
Me too. So much.
And you know they did a remake of it.
I didn't know that.
Like a while, and I can't remember what it was for. We Are the World was for I think they did one for We Are the World, the first version was for what cause? Was it the AIDS crisis?
World hunger?
World hunger, USA for Africa. We Are the World is that right? 25. Yep. Is Artists for Haiti.
Oh, interesting.
So if you haven't heard, first of all, I mean, I assume everyone listening knows We Are the World from the 80s, Michael Jackson, and like just a room full of like the most iconic singers and songwriters mm-hmm. you could ever ask for.
Lionel Richie.
We Are the World 25 is like JoJo Siwa. Hold on, let me see. It was like legit, but it's just that is actually our generation. Which is really funny to think about. But I think we could do another one. It's time.
Justin Bieber was a soloist.
Yeah, it was 12 years ago. So like maybe in like 5 or 6 years, we're kind of ripe.
We do need another one.
So Quincy Jones and Lionel Richie were the executive producers of We Are the World 25. And Randy Jackson. So we have. It's just so funny to see who they put in whose part.
Oh, wow. Look at this chorus. Wow. This is huge. This is like kind of a who's who of a very specific era.
Oh, yeah.
Hank, Adam Levine,
Josh Groban. You have
Nick Jonas.
You have Justin Bieber. You have what's his name? The guy that Gaga loves. Tony. What's his name?
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett. The guy that Gaga loves.
Tony. The guy that Gaga loves. Bennett.
Janet Jackson came in and sang Michael's parts. It's really lovely. It's just jarring because, you know, when you're such a fan of original OG mm-hmm. We Are the World, Wyclef Jean did like a whole thing because he's from Haiti. And you have everybody kind of just coming in. Celine Dion, incredible. You have, who else is in this? Yeah, look at all these. Jennifer Hudson's in there.
Yeah, I mean, I as soon as we're done, I'm definitely going to listen to this.
It's just
this
like,
looks amazing.
We Are the World OG is so sacred to me. It's like
so sacred.
After 9/11, too, they played that on the radio a lot. And
which one? The original?
The original. Yeah. This one was only done in
2012. That's annoying. I don't want them to appropriate it for.
Everything got appropriated after 9/11, though. Like,
that's a great point.
Everything meaningful and meaningless got appropriated.
That's a great point.
But it was why it was on the radio so much. And then the other one that I love in that same vein is Heal the World, which people get confused with.
Yeah, I don't know that one, actually.
That's a Michael Jackson original, but it's like, it was like, it was like just him. Singing for in hopes of world peace, which we all
sure.
want,
as one does.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
But the other one, this isn't for a cause, but this is what I think about mm-hmm. because it was such an incredible collab, is That's What Friends Are For, with Dionne Warwick, Stevie Wonder, Elton John, and Gladys Knight. Like, it's kind of similar vibes of just, like, the greats doing their thing.
The
and it's,
greats.
Like, such a fun video to watch.
I haven't actually watched the video, I don't think. And if I have, it has been a while. But that was the second CD I ever bought because you would hear.
Oh, that's awesome.
You would hear That's What Friends Are For at all the bar and bat mitzvahs. Because that was what
people
would play for.
That's
their,
so true.
They're like, I love spending all my summers with you. So will all of my camp friends please come up and light candle number two. And then it would be like, da-da-da. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun.
And
now everyone from Camp Ramah
right.
come up and light candle number two. It's
candle
amazing.
Number.
Yeah.
It also was one of those things as a kid where you don't get to hear the whole song and it's not like you can go home and just play it on Spotify. So I had to go buy with my American dollars.
Your hard-earned money.
From Sam Goody. A Dionne Warwick CD so I could listen to it on repeat. And boy, did I. I got my 18 bucks worth.
It really never gets old. And the video is the four of them.
I'm going to watch.
It looks like it's like them recording the song or them pretending to record it. And like Elton John is wearing he's wearing like a bolo tie and like a sunglasses. And like, I don't know what kind of hat this is, but it's an amazing hat. And like Stevie Wonder is playing the harmonica. And they're all just sort of like jamming together.
Yep.
And it's delightful. I highly recommend it.
Okay. I'm literally putting it on right now. If you don't know this song, and I often do wonder, it's like, this was such a mitzvah circuit song. Oh God.
I think we might have sang this in like an assembly.
Yeah. Or like your fifth grade graduation kind of thing.
Something like that. Yeah. It came out in like 85. Yeah. So I think in elementary school, there was like at least one or two events where a bunch of little kids sang this off key every year.
I love this. I loved this song.
It's so good. Caroline is jamming out.
I'm really having that. I do believe I love you.
It's also such a lovely, like, it's like, it's, we don't tell friends enough. Like, I'm one of those people who's like constantly telling my friends, like, I love you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a lovely song about like platonic love, which is kind of rare.
Yeah.
You know, because usually, all these songs I don't know if you know this, Caroline, but a lot of pop music is about romantic love.
I have heard that.
And this is about friends. And I just love it. I think it's really sweet.
And it's also, it is truly at its core a love song, a platonic love song. It's not like 100%. Bad bitches sitting in jail. You're my best friend and we busted crime. And it's like, and it's, I feel like that's a lot of like, these are my
that's
friends and we
song.
Just killed
that's my
a man.
Favorite song.
And like I think, like, again, Goodbye Earl, an incredible song of friendship, right? The Dixie Chicks,
oh,
the
I don't
Chicks.
Know that song.
Oh, oh my gosh, Sally, you would love the ethos of Goodbye Earl. Goodbye Earl, A, my almost number one go-to karaoke song. But it is literally about Marianne and Wanda. They were the best of friends all through their high school days. Marianne went off and did things after high school. Wanda stayed in town. I'm literally just reciting the lyrics. Wanda looked.
Wait, is this? Okay, these are the lyrics. Is this the actual story of like people in the Dixie Chicks?
No. This is a story they wrote about fictional friendship, I think.
Okay. I thought maybe Marianne and Wanda were the Dixie Chicks.
No. I'm literally telling you the lyrics were Marianne and Wanda were the best of friends all through their high school days. Both members of the 4-H club, both active in the, I think it's FFA or something AA or whatever. But what the basically is that Marianne went out. She got her brand new start. She left town. Wanda stayed in town. All she found was Earl, a piece of shit. And Earl was abusive to her. So Marianne came back and said, girl, let's kill him. And they did. And
oh, shit.
They put him
that
in
took
the,
a turn.
They put him in the trunk. Okay, wait. Let me send you these lyrics.
Wait a second.
Yeah, I know.
I thought you were going to be like in a similar vein as this sweet song about platonic friendship, but it's actually about two people committing premeditated homicide.
Yes. So Wanda was getting abused after she got married to Earl. She filed for a divorce. Earl walked right through that restraining order and put her in intensive care. Okay, that is a lyric. Then,
jeez.
Right away, Marianne flew in from Atlanta on a red-eye midnight flight. She held Wanda's hand and they worked out a plan, and it didn't take him long to decide that Earl had to die. And it's like a very upbeat. You'll listen to it after we record. And okay. They basically poison him. They poison him. And then he's out cold and they wrap him up in a tarp and they kill him. And no one ever found him. And Wanda was free. And it was because Marianne came back and helped her. And they know they did that crime. Similarly to Goodbye Earl, Taylor Swift did a song about friendship in that same vein with Haim about having to kill. They basically killed somebody and no one found the body. No body, no crime is what it's called. Anyway, all of that to say is...
No, is that real?
Yes.
Is it really called that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to make you
a
playlist.
Believe, I feel like a little bit of a boomer saying this, but can we just go back to friendship songs about telling your friends that you love them?
We could if so
Although
many men
sort of
didn't deserve murder, honestly.
That's a great point. We will go back to making friendship songs about saying I love you when men stop sucking.
Exactly. So men, you know, balls in your court. You
balls
want
in your
more
court.
Dionne
until
Warwick?
Then,
stop being a piece of shit.
Right. Until then, they won't find your body.
Yeah, exactly. No body, no crime. I will send you both Goodbye Earl and No Body, No Crime. But you're right.
Please.
We don't have a ton of songs that are really like platonic love forward. And that's what Friends Are For is a really, really good one. Wow. All of this
really
because of
one.
A griddle. The griddle changes
lives.
Well, that's
the magic of the griddle.
I know. It really is. And Sally, I know that you told me you have a free rec.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear about it. Of course, we'll link to the griddle. We always do. I would love to know, Sally, if you end up getting the griddle. I can't wait to exchange Megan and Tar as well. So that's me just trying to sell you on a griddle if you're a pancake head but want a better cleanup situation. If you're also a clean freak but a pancake head, I think you found a solution in the griddle. There's cheaper ones than 50, but you heard the reviewer say it was a good starter griddle, so I don't even know what
it's a starter griddle.
But you know, the diamond infused flex. And now we turn it over to Sally. Sally, what did you bring as your free rec of the week?
Okay, so a fun activity that I've done with a couple friends is you come up with a category of thing of like product. So I think that I think you and the G Thanks Eds might enjoy this. Could be home decor, could be clothing, could be jewelry.
Okay.
And you basically try to find the most kind of gonzo, outrageous object in that category. So for example,
fun.
Like sometimes it's like you just try to one up each other, but other times I will, like I've done this with Rachel, I'll text her four completely outrageous pieces of home decor and she has to choose which one she would put in her house. And like one is like a steampunk themed like bird that's somehow a lamp. One is like I don't even know, like a gigantic American flag, you know, just like kind of just like
that.
Bananas shit. I've done it like with another friend around like Sixers gear. Like we find the most
like a Mary fuck
deranged
kill of like
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Or even actually that would be a really fun one to do, but even just like trying to outdo each other, like sending, I've like me and my friend have like sent each other like Sixers like thongs and like, you know, that kind of thing. Cause you can find like, if you go deep on Etsy, like,
oh yeah,
I mean, Etsy, you know, you can find like really cute stuff on Etsy, but you can also find some like incredibly wild things there. And it's just really, it's just a good time. It's free. And it's like, you know, it's like, you don't have to be sitting there texting. It's kind of like a game that you get to whenever you want
yeah.
to. And it's just like, it's a blast.
It's also something, it reminds me of that quote. It's like, quote, like, you know, big people talk about ideas, you know, nor like something people talk about events, small-minded people talk about other people. It's like, just like, you know, it's like, you don't have time for gossip. You are finding the creepiest Sixers thong. Like that's
exactly
how I feel about
exactly
that. What a fun 100%. game. Oh, I want to start
yeah,
doing
it's
that
it's
with you
time.
Then
yeah, let's totally start doing it. And I think it can be like yeah, either like multiple choice or just
yes.
like trying to one up each other, and it's just like, it's really fun to find things from like the absolute like depths of
yes
various sites. And then like occasionally you come across an amazing thing, like there's this one photo, I'm going to see if I can find it, of a guy modeling like Sixers slippers, and he's just like in a bathrobe and it looks like he has nothing on underneath, and it looks like it is an error, like it wasn't supposed to ever go on a website. Like, you know, so you end up finding like a lot of gems like that.
Oh, okay. I really want to do this. That's
we're doing
very
it.
Fun, and also just like exactly the kind of activity that I would love to replace, like scrolling Twitter or scrolling, and like I would like to scroll Etsy in search of something horrific.
It's so fun.
Oh, that's
fun. The shit you find is like shocking. It's great.
I
highly recommend.
I think that would parlay into a really fun holiday, like white elephant or Yankee swap, whatever you call it, kind of thing, where it's like the theme is, you know, inappropriate, like cooking utensils, and like you just have to come and try to outdo everyone else.
The reason that like I had this idea in the first place was because I kept seeing things that I thought would be really funny mm-hmm. to get for Rachel as a joke.
Yeah.
Just because when you know someone really well, you see something and you're like, this will tickle them in the exact way it tickles
yes.
me. But it's like, I can't be spending like $100 on like five wrought iron pigeons that are supposed to go on a coffee table.
Right.
So let
that's
me just like
you.
Make a game
I can,
out of it.
Personally,
that's just you can.
Yes. Right. I love
$75. Yes.
I love the idea of like having it be like, this is a, there, the part of the game is not having any limits. And then part of another game could be like, there actually is a limit. And you know,
ooh, yeah.
It's like you, if you have to actually buy something, you know, finding something, just adding that boundary that's like, it has to be deranged and under $30. But
totally.
I love the idea of like, oh yeah, no, like this is a wrought iron staircase for inside your home that has animals crawling up the staircase, and like you can put it in for like $4,000. And also thinking about just like rich people in general, like all of that stuff is always priced. It's like very Hammacher Schlemmer in
is,
a way.
That's just what I was
yeah.
thinking. Yeah.
I haven't looked up the Hammacher Schlemmer site Schlemmer in a while. I mean, Schlemheads, Hamheads, Schlemheads. That
Schlemheads
is such
is so
a
good.
Fun wreck. Okay, so give
it's really fun.
So give the geezers. This
yeah.
is actually, so we'll make a Facebook thread about this.
I was gonna say that we should do that, and we
What's
should
the
do
category?
Like. Okay, so we could pick like an aesthetic, like cottagecore or steampunk mm-hmm. or something like that. Or beach is always
ooh,
fun.
Like nautical.
Like nautical, yeah. Okay. And I think maybe, I mean, home decor is pretty fun.
Yeah, and it also is, it carries a wide spread.
And it, right, and it just you have like a ton of options. So that might be it, like nautical home decor. Ooh,
okay, nautical home decor, okay?
Yeah.
The most, and there will be a prize. I don't know what the prize is, but I will send a prize to the
winner.
Oh, nice,
okay.
And you and I will be the judge, and we will judge during next week's episode. Okay, nautical home decor. So we're talking about, you know, those lamps that have sand and shells in them.
Yeah, but you got to go like really gonzo. Like, for example, like a lot – these are sometimes things that you would like walk into an Airbnb and like be like, I'm sorry, what? Like once we rented an Airbnb near a beach, and one of the things in there was this tall, like 4 feet high thing filled with what looked like water. And when you turned it on – it lit up and these like fake animals were like swimming around in it. And it's like, that's like,
Homaker Schlummer.
That's not, it's not exactly it because it needs to be like more gone, but that's like in the vein of what we're talking
about. So we're saying like the kookiest thing you can think of times 100. So
yeah. Think like the word gonzo, I think, is a good guiding light.
Okay. So you want, this thing, should it appear in the Airbnb that you walk into, will distract you from enjoying every other part of the Airbnb. Because every time you see this thing, you're going to be like, I need to know every part of the backstory of why this got here.
That's a good way of thinking about it.
Okay, yeah. We will make a Facebook thread about it. I love it. And now I know that I'm going to get lost looking for something.
I'm so excited for this.
That is really exciting. I'm going to send you what I'm looking at Hammacher Schlemmer right now. Okay. And I know looking at Hammacher Schlemmer is also sort of like a, their lights sold out. it's a side table.
It's a shortcut.
But it's a man's leg. Oh, here it is. Okay. Like would this be,
it already sounds perfect.
Would this work? Okay. And I will link to what I'm talking about, but it is called the Gentleman Golfer's Side Table. I think I could get more gonzo than this, but tell me if I'm on the right track.
Okay, I'm opening it now.
It's $600.
Yeah, you are definitely on the right track. I will say that, like, I feel like Schlemheads would agree that, like, it's a little bit of a, I wouldn't call it like a cheat because it's technically totally legit, but it's like a little bit of a shortcut to look at Hammacher Schlemmer because everything
they've already
there
found
is like
all of
gonzo.
The things. Okay,
they've done the curation.
Understood.
But yeah, this is exactly what
this
it is.
This is kind of so where you would like, want to end up on any other site.
Exactly. Okay. Grass sold separately.
Sold separately is really funny. Click to the next picture. Click to the.
So it's just
legs and a table.
That is so incredibly weird. Oh my god, Caroline, the two sizes are knickers and long pants. We have to explain that what this is like two legs from like just above the knee down in plaid pants or plaid short pants with like black stockings
and golfing shoes,
black and white golf shoes and a golf club, and it's a side table.
Yeah, and so imagine where the hands and the rest of your thighs were supposed to be has now just been replaced by a slab of wood.
This is like totally this is on track, like in a big way. Yeah.
So I will use this as an example, and I will also tell people you can't use Hammacher Schlemmer. That's a cheat.
Perfect.
And we will not accept any Hammacher Schlemmer.
You will be disqualified.
You will be disqualified in a big way, and maybe even kicked out of the group.
Possibly banned for life.
I
What's
love
your
that.
Free thing?
Okay, well, I did cheat. Mine was 99 cents. But apparently this sunflower seed company called Biggs did a collab with Vlasic Kosher Dill Spears. And there's their kosher dill spear dill pickle flavored sunflower seeds. And my recommendation begins and ends there. If you like a sunflower seed and you like a dill pickle, there's nothing to hate about these sunflower
seeds.
Yeah,
those look, that sounds so good to me. Are they shelled already?
They're not. So it is extra work. I wish they were, but they are not. And so that's my only complaint, but I will still be buying them because 99 cents is exactly the kind of money I want to spend on something like a sunflower seed and Vlasic dill spear collab. But they're
gone. And sometimes you kind of want, I feel like it's with pistachios, like opening them is sort of part of the whole thing.
Exactly.
So I can see it. And I love a pickle, so
but
I'm in.
At least with pistachios, you can use your fingers. With sunflower seeds, it's like a whole, like.
That's true. You have to like kind of pick it out of your.
Yeah. It's like a solo snack. I don't like eating sunflower seeds in public. It's a private activity.
That's a good point. That's a
remember,
really, really
I was raised
point.
Catholic. I'm very humble and modest about my eating. This was such a fun episode, and I feel that we like covered a lot, all considering the griddle. And what I was thinking of while I was looking at the gentleman golfers table, for no reason other than like it just occurred to me, was I could probably do some sort of hibachi situation on the griddle.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I was like clicking through like other griddles just to see what other stuff people cook, and I saw a pizza where like the crust took up the whole griddle surface and then all the toppings were on top of it, which sounded pretty cool.
Oh, I think
griddle,
maybe I'll
griddle pizza.
Maybe I'll just start looking for it. Didn't even occur to me to do this, but I did it when I had, you know, when I was into my air fryer, and I am into my air fryer still, but like the first thing I always do when I get a kitchen appliance is like Google like all the, you know, recipes that you can do with it. So I didn't even think to do it for the griddle. I was just so excited about pancakes. So I will definitely do like 101 things you can cook on a griddle. I'm into
Hell
it.
Hell yeah. I bet there's whole cookbooks, whole griddle cookbooks.
Wow. All right. Well, I got to go because I'm going to go to the bookstore. As always, thanks for joining us for this episode, everyone. Sally, best co-host ever. We will start that Facebook thread ahead of the show coming out. So if you're listening, check the show notes, hit the link, go to Facebook, find us. The most gonzo nautical themed home decor you can find. There will be a winner. I don't know what the prize is, but there will be a winner. And of course, everything we talked about, including all the music videos, will be in the show notes. Sally, thanks so much for joining us and have a great rest of your week. As always. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
You just listened to another episode of Do Thanks Just Bought It, edited and mixed by Veronica Gruba and produced and hosted by me, Caroline Moss. In between episodes, you can always head to the GThanks Instagram at GThanksJustBoughtItPod and the GThanks Facebook group to get and give life-changing recommendations of your own. Subscribe to our weekly sale and discount emails at GThanks.substack.com. It's free. And you can reach me at Caroline at GThanksJustBoughtIt.com or leave me a message at 424-245-0736 with a product recommendation, and you may be featured on an upcoming episode. GThanks is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our GThanks content free and accessible to all, consider making a monthly donation of $2 to keep us going at patreon.com/GThanks and friends.